Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good evening, good evening. It's incredible to be back learning together. I thank everyone for joining us this evening for Thursday Night Live, as we are 2 weeks away from Bedikas Chametz, and that's what we will be learning tonight. So please continue to take food and drink during the shiur. It used to be, there are people in the room older than I am, but I remember every year my family receiving in the mail, maybe even the first couple of years after we were married, the Bedikas Chametz kit, the packet that had the wooden spoon, the feather, the candle in it. And lots of organizations would send that, and you know, it's not easy for Jewish organizations to think of good swag to send people, so they send back a check. And many of those items with modern technology fell away. People don't need Sfiras Omer calendars anymore because they have their phones. Lakewood, I think, is the only place that still sends the Sfiras Omer calendar, either because most people there don't have cell phones or they don't want to think that they have cell phones. So they still send the Sfiras Omer calendar. It used to be at every wedding, at least when our chevra was getting married, every wedding had, they gave out the pocket sitter, right? The pocket bencher, the pocket sitter. Some were even fancy. They had the pen that rolled out, if you remember, that had the sitter in the pen, bencher, pocket bencher. Now you don't see that anymore because everyone's driving from their phones. The Bedikas Chametz kit kind of, I don't know, anyone here get it in the mail anymore? You still get it? Okay, it could be. She tells you it came in the mail and she bought it. So you don't see it as much anymore. And I'm like, what? Well, the flashlight maybe we'll see. And we're going to talk this evening about why I think that maybe there's reason to bring back the trend and discuss some of the reasons why there's a minhag, or there was a minhag, or places thought it was a minhag to use a wooden spoon, a feather, and a candle. I'm not sure we'll get to all of it. Also, you find now in stores, they sell the Bedikas Chametz kit with the 10 pieces of bread, pre-packaged. Now, I used to be bothered by that and said, oh my gosh, how terrible. This is what Klal Yisrael came to. We can't, you know, find their own 10 pieces of bread. I don't feel that way anymore because you don't know what people are going through. There might be people who have a lot of anxiety holding on to bread. They turn their kitchen over. They have little kids running around. They're going away. They forget. Mikha Amcha Yisrael. And I want to discuss also that minhag or that halacha, that inyan of putting out the 10 pieces of bread, because it almost seems like a joke. Here we're supposed to have Bedikas Chametz. We're going to learn about it. It's a tremendous mitzvah. Maybe a mitzvah derabanan. Maybe a mitzvah deraisa. It's Bedikas Chametz. And what ends up happening, I think, in a lot of homes, though, to be honest, I've never been in anyone else's home for Bedikas Chametz, it's where the house is already clean. It's clean by then. If not, we got other problems. The house is clean, and the whole thing becomes looking for 10 pieces of bread, which either you put out yourself, or maybe your spouse or your children put out, and it almost becomes a game of hide and seek. So I want to understand what this is all about. So we're going to start on the first page, page 3. Still haven't figured that out. Just to understand where it comes from. Now, yeshivas who learn Pesachim and Daf Beis can spend a month and a half on Bedikas Chametz. It's one line in the Mishnah, a Rashi, and every Rishon commenting on this Rashi. The Mishnah says in source number 1, or it's the opening Mishnah, Maseches Pesachim, or Lar Basar, it's the night of the 14th, Bodkin es haChametz Lor Haner. We check for the Chametz by the light of the candle. The Gemara is going to discuss why the light of the candle. Why do we do Bedikas Chametz? Why do we do Bedikas Chametz? What does that mean, to prepare? Prepare for what? Get rid of the Chametz. Why? Why do you get rid of the Chametz? Because you have the Chametz. You're over Bayra Bayimatzeh. There's an issue of the rights to own Chametz. Bayra Bayimatzeh. So you do Bedikas Chametz to make sure you have the Chametz to avoid, to circumvent the Isser, the prohibition of Bayra Bayimatzeh, which is quite a serious prohibition. That's what Rashi says in source number 2. Bodkin shel yavor alav b'bayra bayimatzeh. Very good. Tosus comes along. He has a very strong kasha. We know that what do you need to do You need to do bitul. Bitul chametz. When we say, kol chamira v'chamira dika b'rshusi libatel v'lahavi ka'afra da'ara. We make the chametz batel. It's ownerless. It's not ours anymore. It's hefker. So, and the Gemara says that once you do bitul, you don't own it anymore. There's no bayir abayi matzeh. So says Tosos, everyone has to do bitul chametz. So if everyone has to do bitul chametz, there's no problem with bayir abayi matzeh. Why do you have to do bedika? So Tosos says, that's not why you do bedikas chametz. Tosos says, the reason you do bedikas chametz is because even though you did bitul, and there's no bayir abayi matzeh, what might happen if you have chametz in your house? You might come to eat it. Huh! Who doesn't want a good cookie on the fifth day of Pesach? The second day of Pesach? The first morning of Pesach? You have it in your house. If you don't, even though you did bittul, you don't own it. There's no bayir abayi matzeh. But you might come to eat it. So we're machmir, and you have to do bir chametz. Why only this is sir? Why not other isurim? You can see the Tosos on Daf Beis Amud Aleph from Pesach. And Rishonim defend Rashi. Maybe you'll renege on your bittul. Maybe you forget to do bittul. Bittul is a require an action. Bittul is with words or in your heart. When there's no action, we're prone to forget. But when you do bedika, so then you're going to have to do it. So then maybe that's better. Other Rishonim say you might renege on your bittul. Retroactively, you might see something good. And how does that work? These are all questions if we're learning the sugi. But that's bedikas chametz. Either it's so you don't violate bayir abayi matzeh, or if you don't come to eat the chametz tosos, there's a ron that holds that bedikas chametz is deraisa. That's bedikas chametz, and that's what we do. But for many of us, we've done all that the cleaning and the checking in the days and weeks leading up to bedikas chametz, and that's where this idea of the 10 pieces of bread come in. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, quoting from Rishonim, writes in source 4, "V'noagin lahaniach psisei chametz." The minog is, it's a halacha, but the minog is to leave pieces of chametz in the place where you'll find them. Why? Anyone want to suggest before you see the Ramah? You already saw the Ramah, amazing. Next time I'll put all the sources in Yiddish so no one can read them. Kidei shelo yehe berchasa levatala. The bracha levatala, we make a bracha. The bracha is al bir chametz. Why isn't the bracha al bedikas chametz? It's a good question. The bracha is al bir chametz, when we do the bedika. If you don't find anything, because your house is already clean, it could be a bracha, liva tala. It works for you? It makes sense for you? Yeah? Yeah, you're still searching. It's a bracha liva tala? What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is to find chametz? What's the mitzvah? To search for chametz, no? Yeah, to search for it. So bracha latal, okay. So we'll come back to that. That's one reason. The Chok Yaakov was a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch. He has two other reasons why one should put out the bread, besides the reason of the Ramah, which is from a Rishon, the Mari Brin, of your bracha should be bracha latal. The Chok Yaakov says, in source 5, Umari Vayal, it's one of the Rishonim, Kasvatam Sheminichim Shlo Yishkach Levat Elamachar. Putting the bread out is an insurance policy that you'll do a bittul. Masha Ein Ken Kishu Yeshul Chametz Niskar Bezman Abir Levatel. You're going to have chametz. What's going to happen if you don't put any pieces out? You might not find anything. If you don't find anything, you might not do bittul. You might not do beer chametz. You're not going to. And then you might have problems because if you had chametz that you didn't find, you'll be violating the Issur Deraisa. So by leaving, the chametz out, now I have chametz, now it's going to remind me, it's going to push me to make sure I do bittul chametz. It's a very practical, it's an insurance policy for bittul chametz. Then he says, there's another insurance policy. If you don't put the bread out, you're done with your checking. Right? We cleaned all the rooms. We spent a week cleaning all the rooms. If I don't have to put any bread out, so I'm done. So this is one last time to check. One last time to make sure you have no chametz. Yes, you check. But while you're checking for the 10 pieces of bread, you don't, especially if someone else puts it out, you don't know where it is. I'm sure people here have had that experience where they thought the house was totally cleaned and they're looking for the bread. They open up a closet and there's, fill in the blank, whatever. You look in, you're doing B'dikas Chametz. So while you're checking for those 10 pieces of bread, you look in a knapsack, you look in a jacket pocket, you look in a closet that you weren't, that you didn't forgot to check, you look under the bed, whatever, you're going to find Chametz. So it's another insurance policy, not that you do Bittul, it's an insurance policy that you continue to do B'dika. So those are three reasons for this halacha of leaving out 10 pieces of bread. Number one, Bracha L'Vatala, that's the Shulchan Aruch Ramah. And Michael, we'll get to your counter to that in a minute. Number two, an insurance policy for Bittul. And number three, an insurance policy to do more Bidika to make sure we check for Chametz. Not everyone agreed to this. The Chok Yaakov quotes a Ravid, and I thought about not putting in this source due to somewhat derogatory comment towards women. But the Ravid made it, and certainly he was pro-woman. So I'll read it. The Ravid betamim deim simin chav tes kasav deminach zeh maise nashimu. It's not good. It's not good. Now, I was talking this out with a chaver, a student of mine named Avi Hurt, and I was telling him, like, you want to say it's a silly minhag, say it's a silly minhag. We've seen that a lot over the years, talking about minhagim. But why call it Maisa Nashim? So he said, tell him the Chassam Sofer. You can counter with the Chassam Sofer. There's a tshuva, the Chassam Sofer, where he writes at the end of the tshuva, and I'll read it to you. The Hayosi Chutz L'Cheder Limudai, since I'm outside of my study, outside of my room where I learn, why? Ki Garshuni Nashim Tzidkanios, HaMechabdos L'Yontov Shal Pesach. The Nashim Tzidkanios, they drove me out of the room so they could prepare for the Yontif. Because of that, I don't have Svarim, I can't be Marach. So the Chassam Sofer is willing to, so to speak, skim on a tshuva, go light on a responsa, because the Nashim Tzidkanios, he didn't say there's some positive in the Chassam Sofer as well. But the Chok Yaakov says, it's silly. We don't need to put the bread out. Why not? What about Brach L'Vatala? Why is it? So good. So you have a couple things. The Taz, give me 1 second, Harvey. The Taz in source 7, the Ramah himself, if you go back to source 4, after the Ramah quotes this minhag, he says, Umiyu imlo nasan lo ikev. If you didn't put the bread out, it's not a big deal. It's not akiv the mitzvah. You still get the mitzvah if you don't put the bread out. Why? The das kol adam ima bracha levayer im nimso. When you make the bracha, you're going to do birach hametz if you find things. And that's what many of the Mefarshim say. The Taz says that, before that, there are other reasons not to. The Taz says, what might happen if you put the bread out and you can't find it, and you run into big problems. I've never heard of someone who called and said they can't find the 10th piece of bread. I know a friend of mine, they couldn't find the Afikoman 1 year. They couldn't find the Afikoman. They looked, actually from this town, they looked all over. Couldn't find Afikoman. They had to go ask Shiloh, what do you do? You can't find Afikoman. When his parents moved 15 years later, and they took off a beautiful painting off the wall in the dining room, a big bag of Afikoman matzah fell to the floor. Someone put it behind the thing. Probably the kid fell asleep. But you don't find people, I haven't had that Shiloh. I can't find the 10th piece of bread. But the Taz says, be careful. If you can put bread out, and then you can't find it, you have big problems. So the Taz says, don't put it out. Then if you flip the page over, there's a sefer called Nem Numa'od, which quotes many, many minhagim and halachas of Rishonim and Acharonim. And he quotes, don't do it, because you might have a mouse. I don't think it's so relevant for us. But a mouse might come and take it and move it away. And the Gemara's and Pesachim, all talk about that, right? The mouse carries chametz from one room to the other, cheder l'cheder. So don't put it out, because you're inviting trouble. The Bracha L'Vatala seems like a very strong reason. So the Taz says it's not a problem, because the Bracha is what you're going to burn tomorrow, what you're going to do the Bittul on. Or, like you said, for what you're looking for. And the Gra has fascinating, the Gra compares this to a Tosos we learned in Brachos. We learned at one point at Tosos and Brachos, Tosos asks, why don't we make a bracha on sleeping in the sukkah? Sleeping in the sukkah is the same mitzvah as eating in the sukkah. In fact, sleeping in the sukkah might be more strict, more serious than eating in the sukkah. So why don't you make a bracha? So Tosla's answer is one answer. You might not fall asleep. You might not fall asleep. Other Rishonim say that's not the answer. So the Gemara says that's this question. Can you make a bracha on something that might not end up happening? The Gemara has two great proofs against this bracha of Atala business. The Mishnah on Daf Yudim and Beis and Pesachim says, if you didn't do Bedikas Chametz on the night of the 14th, when do you do it? And I remember the Mishnah? Lo Badak B'Yadalad, Yivdok, B'Sol Chamoed. If you didn't do Bedikas Chametz on the 14th, you should do Bedikas Chametz and Rishonim say, with a bracha on Pesach. If you're putting out the bread on Pesach, no chance. So what do you see? You see, it's not a problem with bracha l'tala. You know you're not going to find any chametz. You're not putting it. You see, you don't need to put the bread out. You could even do bedikas chametz on Pesach. Obviously, we're not assuming you have chametz. It's Pesach already. So you see, you could what? Okay, I mean, I don't know if that's what he quotes. He says mavur de mavrechinan. He doesn't. If you take a look. He says it's the second line in source 10. Viraya de ain sarach min damrin perakam de psachim yivdok besoch hamoy the ayin lekaman simin tuf lamine de yivdok bebrach. I didn't take a look at a tuf lamine.
Why does it have to be on the 14th? If you're cleaning the whole week, the man helps out.
So the Gemara addresses that. I don't remember how the Gemara knows that. The Gemara addresses that. And then he has another proof from something we learned also that a couple weeks ago that you make a bracha of hamapil. Remember we spoke about hamapil. How do you make a bracha on hamapil? Maybe you won't fall asleep. So what do we answer when we learn this? The bracha is going to sleep. So to hear, the bracha is checking the chametz, not a bracha liva tala. With all that, with the reasons not to do it, and the way to counter this bracha liva tala, the Mishnah Berurah says, still minag Yisrael Torah, and it's a good thing to do. More than that, and this is, I want to...
Like everything that we don't find, it's like...
Right,
this.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm sure it's something.
Right, right. So, the Mishnah Berurah and the Berei Heitev, though, quote in Arizal. The Arizal writes in Source 13, we'll try to understand this. This will, I think, enhance our Pesach. The Arizal kasav minag zeh. The Arizal writes this minog, v'yaniach yud psisim, you should put out 10 pieces of bread, v'hu alpi sod gadol. It's a deep, deep secret, or a deep concept. What is it? What's the deep? What's the depth? What's this idea? So I'm looking around to try to understand it, and I stumble on a morupsia. Oh, we'll get to that. The morupsia is the yavetz. The Yavetz, fascinating, lived in Germany, 1697 to 1776. The Yavetz was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. The Yavetz led the battle against the Shabtai Tzvi movement. The Yavetz writes in the Moruk Tzia, he was independently wealthy. He started a printing press. He printed a lot of his own svarim, a very controversial figure. He quotes this Ber Heitev, Mashakas of Source 14 Ber Heitev, Leniach Yud Psisin Mishem HaRizal. He says, May Idni, I'm giving testimony, Shira Isi La'aba Mari Hagona Chasid, I saw my great father, the Chacham Tzvi, Shela'ag Al HaMenichim Psisim, Shiyim Sem HaBodek. He made fun of, he mocked, he ridiculed those who put out 10 pieces of bread. And interesting, he was proficient in all the works of the Arizal. And the Ber Heitev is telling us that the Arizal had this idea, deep, deep, deep sowed. Says, my father was a bucky, and he, v'rov min hago, kikulo, ayal pi das Arizal. The majority, if not all of his customs and actions, were based on the Arizal. Umidilo chashlaha, from the fact that he was not concerned about this Arizal, Shma mina de lo shamile. It must be he never heard of such a thing. Visvirale de lo amar arikain. It must be Arizal never said such a thing. Nonsense. De lo yatsa davar zemipiv. It must be Arizal never said such a thing. My father kept every to a T like the Arizal, and he never heard of this. It must be the Arizal never said it. Now, the problem is that Arizal writes it in this Sefer Pri Etz Chaim. The Arizal writes this. I don't understand just about any of this Arizal, and I'm trying to work through it. And it's a language I'm not familiar with. And I was getting down that I couldn't understand that reason. I want to understand this minhag in pshat doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's not a bracha batala. I'm not worried that I'm not going to do bittul. What are we doing? So if you flip the page over, start looking around different haggadahs, and I saw the haggadah of Pinchas. We've learned a lot of Pinchas, and he had three words in here, which made me feel very good, and then he explained it, which made me feel even better. He says as follows, Huva Baposkim, this is source 15. It's brought down in the Poskim. Sheyesh Nogin Lefazer Asara Psisim Shal Chametz Bebayis. There's a minhag to spread out 10 pieces of chametz in the house. Almanas Limso Osam Bidiko Lesorfam. With intent to find them and burn them. Vilama Dafka Asara, why 10? Hadvarim Amukim Bishvi Lainu. The words are too deep for us. That was good. I don't understand that Rizal. Rapinkus didn't think it was, he's too deep for us also. But, he says, I'll give you some insight. Avalzel lashon aksuva bekadmonim. This is the language that's written in the earlier sources. Kidei levayer es ha'asara kisrei de tuma. To remove, to eradicate the 10 crowns of tuma. What does that mean? So he goes on to say that the number for shlemus, the number that represents being whole, being complete, the koma of shlemus is 10. As you said, the asar sviros. Can't tell you know exactly what that means. Asar sviros. Asar ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. The world is created with 10 words or 10 utterances. He says, "B'chol makom." At the end of the second paragraph, "Shemadaber b'hekif shalim." When you're talking about something complete, the low rock on the kuda pratis, and not on one specific point, but on the whole inyan, something that shalim hadaver misbatei alidei hamizmispar eser. The matter manifests itself through the number of 10. Less than 10 is a specific nekuda, one point. 10 is shlemus. He says, "Zehu aremes shomrim lanu kam b'dikas chametz." This is what b'dikas chametz is. Aleinu lenakos es hatunma shenidbuka banu b'meshach hashana b'chol hakefa. Throughout the year, we are imbued, we are infused with tumma. We go through life, and it's inevitable. Sometimes we bring it ourselves, and sometimes it's inevitable. We're infused with tumma. Pesach comes, and we don't need to just fix one part of our service of Hashem. Ein anu menakenes atzmeinu beize prat misuyam greda. We're not coming to clean one point in our life. Anachnu mitarenes tumaseinu kalil. We're trying to purify the essence. Lachein nogin lefazer asara psisim v'achar bedika l'sarfam. We gather up 10 pieces of bread. The 10 pieces of bread represent the shlemus of tuma. The chametz is our tuma. We know the chametz is the yetzahara. Zeu kol agavein shleimei Pesach. That is what Pesach is. Anu mitzuvim b'vayra b'yamatzei shlo yishar klum mea tuma. We want to on Pesach start new. Pesach is like a conversion process. We want to start fresh, start new, rid all the tuma. 10 represents completeness. Just like there's 10, a 10 is a completeness, a shlemus of tuma. 10 is also the completeness of tahara, purification. So we spread this out and we're gathering up all the tuma and getting rid of it. And then starting to build, he says in the next paragraph, we have matzah and we have the zroa and the beitzah and charoses and karpas and chazares and the ka'ara and the seder. We're starting to rebuild after breaking down all the tuma. Which I thought was a very interesting insight to explain this. He says it's too deep for us to understand, but on some level, it's the removal, the searching of the entire shlemus of tumah to have a sense of purity. I thought that was a a very interesting insight. This afternoon, I walked into the Beis Medrash to get a sefer, and Rabbi Yehoshua Rubinstein was there. Yehoshua Rubinstein, if anyone's heard any of the shiurim, is a brilliant Talmud Chacham, very proficient in Chassidus and Nistar. He's Davins and Eish Kodesh in the Five Towns, and he's on their rabbinic staff. So he was in the Beis Medrash randomly. So I was like, hey, do you know this Arizal? He said, yeah. I said, maybe you want to explain it to me? And he basically said the same thing as for Pinchas. And then he was most of one thing, which I don't know how much, I don't understand this. He said that there's a Medrash that Esther, when she went into Achashverosh, we know what day was that. It was Erev Pesach, for those who learned Gemara Megillah. Yud Gimel. Esther, during that time, the Medrash says, was busy with Bir Chametz. She was looking for the Chametz and getting rid of the Chametz. She was also trying to get rid of Haman. Haman has an element of Tumah. When she destroyed Haman, we know that was on Pesach. Haman died on the second day of Pesach. And who else died with Haman? The 10 sons of Haman. He says there's a deep connection. What exactly this means, I'm not sure. But there's a deep connection between the 10 pieces of Chametz that we put on Erev Pesach and the 10 sons of Haman. The Esther was ridding herself of Chametz, was ridding us of the tumah of Haman, the 10 sons, the 10 pieces of Chametz. It's all connected.
And it's 11.
Well, 10 sons.
Okay, right. Right. Good. Okay. There's one other fascinating insight which I saw. Because the whole thing seems like a joke. We're checking for chametz. We know where the chametz is. We're checking chametz. We found it. It's fascinating. You know, the source we're going to see for the candle, one of the sources for Bedikas chametz in the candle, comes from the word chippus. The Gemara says, we have mitziah, and we have mitziah from chippus, and chippus from neros, and neros, and neros. They're all gzera shavas. The word of yimatzeh and chippus comes up where? In Sefer Bereishis. The pasuk when Yosef instructs his avadim to look through the bag of the brothers. The pasuk says, "Vayichapes bigadol heichel." They search for the cup, the becher. They started bigadol in the oldest, and then ubekatan kila. They ended in the youngest, in Binyamin's bag. Vayimatse, and they found it. Vayimatse is the source for using the candle for bedikas chametz. There. The whole thing was a joke, right? Yosef, they knew exactly where the bag was in. Yet they still did this whole search. So you see that there is a precedent for looking for things where you know where they are. It's not all just a fictional joke. We'll see that in a minute. We'll see that in a minute. Now, I want to talk about the spoon because I thought this was fascinating. Why do we use a kli? Why do we use a spoon? If you take a look in Source 19, there's explanations of Pshat, and there's beautiful explanations with more depth to it. In Source 19, it's the bottom of page 6. The Darkei Moshe, who's the Ramah, writes, "Umaharil kasa dim lo nimsa klum." If you don't find any chametz, sorfim akli shalakach levayerbo. Burn. It's on page 6, Source 19. Burn the kli, the vessel. Doesn't say spoon, but burn the kli that you use to take the chametz. Kadesha yizkor mitzvahs biur. You want to make sure you do bir chametz. Maybe you didn't find any chametz, but you still want to. You want to remember you do bittul also when you do bir chametz. So as an insurance policy for bir chametz and for bittul, take a kli, use a kli, and therefore you'll burn the kli. That's alpi pshat. Why a wooden kli?
Burns.
What?
It burns.
A plastic burns also. I know they tell you at the beer company, don't throw the plastic in there. Plastic also burns. What? Is the Rifkin's not here this year? We could, you know, we could do what you want at beer companies. Why wood?
Because wood, you use wood to stir chametz during the year, and there are crevices in the wood. So it gets embedded.
Oh, so someone told me Rav Moshe Heinemann from Baltimore said this. They used to use wooden spoons to stir hot food, And because of that, cracks and crevices would come up, and you had to get rid of it. Those chametz, you couldn't clean that, you couldn't fix that. So what do you have to do? You have to burn it. So that's why you'd get a new wooden spoon. So you would take the wooden spoon that you used all year to stir your pot, and you use that for the chametz, and then burn that. Rav Meir Shapiro, the founder of the Daf Yomi, had a different explanation. One opinion in the Gemara is that ein bir chametz ela sreifa. In order to fulfill bir chametz, you have to use a fire. The source for that is nosar. The same way that you burn the nosar, the leftovers of the korban, so too you burn the chametz. The Rashash in Shabbos writes that if that's true, the Rambam writes when it comes to burning of the nosar, it has to burn in wood. You can't burn with straw, kash and gavava. You can only burn the nosar on wood. So if the source for burning the chametz with fire is learned from nosar, and nosar has to use wood, so you want to burn your chametz in wood. So what do? You take a wooden kli, you put the chametz on the wooden kli, and when you put the spoon, the wooden kli, in the fire, the chametz is being burned, not by the charcoal that the fireman put in the thing, but it's being burned by the wooden kli that the chametz is on. That's what Rav Meir Shapiro says, al pi pshat. Why a spoon? Use a fork. Why a spoon? First of all, that spoon doesn't really do anything. You can't pick up. Why a spoon? So I saw a really fascinating insight in a sefer called Rav Shaul Brach. Rav Shaul Brach was a rav in Kasho, Hungary, 1865 to 1940. Great fun fact was that the Satmar Rebbe, the Satmar Ruv, took over for him in a town called Kreli in Romania in 1925. The Satmar Rebbe took over for this Rav Shaul Brach. His sons survived the war and ended up in Israel, and his grandsons published his Haggadah. He was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, and he has creative Pshatim. I shared this with 10 different people this week. People loved it. And this is source 23. On page 7, why a spoon? Why a wooden spoon? And this is why I'm hoping this year, and if anyone has an extra wooden spoon, let me know. But I'm going to try to get myself a wooden spoon so I can mekayim this idea. He says, Nagu lissof yim ha-chametz ha-kaf shel eitz. The meaning is to burn with the chametz a wooden spoon. Sheshim shubo l'bedikas chametz that you used for bedikas chametz. Yesh lomar tam. We can give a reason. Al pisha bedorenu, in our generation, he's talking Hungary before 1940. Kale adas atzim lahashir, the road from kol yameyam laharbos hon. People are running around all their lives just to accumulate wealth. Voiv kesef lo yispa kesef. As the pasuk tells us, he who loves money will never be satiated by money, but we're running after money. And we know, Ksiv, Kochi Votsam Yadi Asaliyas Achayel Azeb. People think it's because of me. My success, my strength, my brains, my business acumen is why I have money. That's a problem, he says. So think about it. Spoon represents the hand. As the pasuk says, Yigia Kapecha Ki Sochal. Yigia kapecha means the work of your hand will allow you to eat. The spoon represents the hand. Eitz, wood, ayin, tzadi, and gematria is the same gematria as kesef. So he says, v'lachein sorfin imacham, it's kaf eitz. We take the wooden spoon and we burn the wooden spoon, lo horos, ki lo b'kocha masucha. You think it's your strength, you think it's your energy, you think it's your brains that gave us the success that we hope to have. No. It's not kaf eitz. It's not your hand, the kochi v'otzim yadi, that gave you eitz, which is b'gematria kesef. It's not your hand which gave it to you. We burn that to remind ourselves, certainly at a time of chametz, a time of Pesach, when maybe we don't have any more money because how much money it costs. But even if not, the whole idea is that it doesn't rise. It's matzah. It's lechem oni. Don't think it's our hand. It's your success that gave you the kesef, the eitz. We take the wooden spoon, the kaf eitz, the yad of kesef, and we get rid of it, we burn it. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful insight.
Very interesting that a silver spoon is usually what you use to connote wealth, not a wooden spoon.
Interesting.
There's a song to that.
Right. You want to sing it? So that's excellent. Very good. Very good. So that's one. That's one insight he had. Then he has another one, which is also fascinating. He says that at the zman of sreifas chametz, when we burn the chametz, there's mechias amalek. Why? How? Where? I don't know. But there's a time of mechias amalek in sreifas chametz, which might relate back to what we said about Esther. It might relate back to what we said about Esther. Esther was getting rid of Haman, was on Pesach when she was doing Bir Chametz. It's all connected. So look what he says. The first time we beat Amalek, how did we beat Amalek? First time we beat Amalek. Moshe's what? Moshe's hands. Moshe's hands. Bekaf yado shemoshe. Herim yado. Valzeh gavar Yisrael. Moshe raised his hands and the Jews were victorious. And the second time we beat Amalek, it was Haman. Had Haman die? Hung on a eitz. Gavo chamishim ama. Lekach miramzin bekaf eitz. We use a wooden spoon. Spoon is hand. Kaf yigik ateka kisochal. To hint to us that it's the mechias amalek that was destroyed with the hand and with the wood. So we use the wood spoon to remind us that we could get rid of Amalek, that this is the time where we did get rid of Amalek. And says the Chassam Sofer, that wild, that Amalek in Gematria is the same exact Gematria as Yom Yudalad Nisan. Not off one, off two, 10 Fles Arsa Dibros. It works perfectly. Amalek is 240, Yom 56, Yudalad 14, and Nisan 170 equaling 240. Amalek Yom Yudal Nisan. The day of Yudal Nisan is when we destroy Amalek. So we use the Kaf Eitz, the wooden hand, the wooden spoon, because those are the two times that we destroyed Amalek. And those are interesting thought to why the wooden spoon. So there's the pshat, use the wooden spoon, because then you're going to have to burn it. So once you're burning it, you're going to do Bitl Chametz. Or you use the wood, because we want to have fire. We want the chametz to burn in the wood. Because ein bir chametz b'sreif was learned from Nosar. So we use wood. But why a spoon? So these two extra reasons of Rav Shaul Brach from Hungary that were trying to hint to us and ingrain in us these ideas of kolchi votzim yadi, not to think it's our own arrogance, our own pride, which is having us be successful. It's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think that was a fascinating insight. I don't know if we're going to have enough time to talk about the candle. I'll share one insight. I had more here, and we'll save it for next year. But one, there's a machlokas whether you can use a flashlight or not. The Gemara says use a candle. So many Svarim say for sure it's okay. It's okay. The same way that you can use a light for Havdalah, because it's called Ner, right? That's the Chiddush of Reb Chaim Ozer Grzinski. So you can also use a flashlight for B'dikas Chametz. But both Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others say you do B'dikas Chametz once a year. Let's keep the Minag Yisrael Torah, to use a candle. We use a candle. Why exactly a candle and why a wax candle? So also there's some deep reasoning. The Avodas Yisrael, who's the Kajuster Magid, he says very interesting. He says, Ner represents Neshama V'ruach. Ner is Neshama V'ruach. Shava is wax. Shava are from the letters Shin Ayin Vav Hey. That Shoresh of Sha'a, we have by Kayin and Hevel. The Pasuk says, Ve'el Kayin, Ve'el Mimchaso Lo Sha'a. Kayin and his offering, Hashem didn't heed. He didn't pay attention to it. Sha'a, which is the shorish of Sha'ava, represents paying attention, represents focus. So before we do B'dikas Chametz, we take a Ner Sha'ava, we take our Neshama and our Ruach, we take our soul and our spirit, and we're Sha'ava, we're Sha'eh, We focus, we think about what we're about to do, not just finding chametz, but as we said from the Arizal, to remove the ra, remove the tumah, the eser sviros of tumah, to remove that, so we use a ner shava, neshama and ruach, sha'eh, to heed, to pay attention, to stop, to think, to make sure what we're doing is l'shem shemayim, which is interesting. Others say that the word shava, which is gematria, which is wax, the wax candle, is the same gematria as shechina, which is interesting as well. By using the candle, by doing bedikas chametz, we're bringing the shechina in. So it's not that automatically the shechina comes. It's a reminder for us. As we start, and we have the wooden spoon, we think about the kochi votes of Yadi, and we think about the mechias amalek, we also think about, what are we doing here? This is like the start of Pesach. The bedikas chametz, I mean, we've been preparing for a long time, but the start of the mitzvos of Pesach, so to pay attention, to think about, to focus, shaveh from the word shah, well, kind of mechasa lo shah, and we, through that, we could think about what we're doing and attain and achieve a sense of simcha. I'll conclude with a comment I saw from the Belzer Rebbe. We burn all the tools we use for bedikas chametz. So he says, the spoon, it makes sense why we burn the spoon. Because the spoon came in contact with the chametz. The feather, which I didn't see any deep insights, that's just to sweep it up. It's interesting, you see post-kim we're trying to define what's a feather. It's interesting. The feather comes in contact with the chametz. Makes sense that you burn it. The little napkin for the paper towel the chametz was wrapped in, also burn it. It came in contact with the chametz. Why do we burn the candle? People are burning the candle, right? Why do we burn the candle? Well, because you're putting everything in the bag. So you just put that in the bag also. It adds to the flame. Yeah. So said the Rabbi Shua Mibelz, the second Belzer Rebbe. Very beautiful, and a beautiful bracha. If you take a look in the last source on page 9, source 30. He says, you shouldn't burn it. I'm the opposite. We know that once you did one mitzvah with one item, we should do another mitzvah for the item. So take that candle and use it on Chanukah. Use it on Shabbos. Hov and Sav and Mitzvah Chad and Av and Mitzvah Achrina. That's why we burn the Aravos. We burn the Lulav with the Chametz. So use the candle for another mitzvah. Why do we throw it in? He says in the line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, Omnam. Me'acher Shahaya Yisparach. Shashem Yisparach Haya Be'ezreinu. Hashem was with us. Shabadaknu as a Chametz v'sarafnu also. We checked for the Chametz and we burned it. We are hopeful. We wish. We're anticipating that Hashem will help us in the coming year to burn it with a new candle, a new flame, a new light. And what's that new light? We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take and give us a new candle. Or Chadash, Mitzion Tachin, that light, the new light of Mashiach coming from Herib Yemenu. So we take, after the everything else that makes sense, I'll peep shot while we throw it into the fire. And we take this candle, we throw it into the fire, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, next year let's have the Or Chadash from Herib Yemenu. Da Marv, 1 minute before I take your question, Mayor, I want to wish a very special mazel tov to Barry Siegel on the late breaking, hot off the press news of the engagement of his son Yaakov, just a few minutes, Yaakov, right? Just a few minutes ago, Mazel Tov to Barry. We have a very special Shabbos this Shabbos. There'll be a Karbach Minyan here, in this room, extra table set up, tomorrow night, led by our very own Surly Herkman. Early Shabbos Karbach Minyan, 6:45. So 6:45 Karbach Minyan tomorrow night. We have a beautiful Shabbos from Judah Michelle. Oneg, Shiurim, Drasha is a fantastic Shabbos. We hope to see everyone today.